Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to 2Q FY26 conference call hosted by B&K Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Nagraj from B&K Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Danish. We thank the management of Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited for providing us the opportunity to host the 2Q FY26 post-results conference call. Today, from the management, we have with us Dr. Bir Kapoor, the CEO and Deputy Managing Director of Gujarat Fluorochemicals, and along with him, the senior members of the management team. Without taking further time, I would like to hand over the call to Dr. Bir Kapoor for his initial remarks, post which we can proceed to Q&A session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rohit. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you for GFL's Quarter 2 FY26 earnings call. For this call, I have with me my colleagues, Mr. Akhil Jindal, who is Group CFO, Mr. Manoj Agarwal, who is CFO of GFL, and I also have with me Mr. Rajiv Rao, who is the Business Head of Battery Materials. The company announced its Quarter 2 FY26 results at its board meeting held today. The results, along with earning presentations, are already available on the stock exchange and on our website. I'll briefly highlight the key financials and then give you an update on business operations and outlook. I am pleased to share that we delivered a resilient performance amidst significant global challenges in Quarter 2 FY26, reflecting the inherent strength of our business. Revenue for the chemical segment for the quarter stood at 1,210 crores, increased by 2% on year-on-year basis. The uncertainty emanating from the tariffs imposed by US impacted sales during the quarter, which we expect to see easing off going forward. EBITDA grew by 26% to 381 crore in Quarter 2 FY26 from 302 in Quarter 2 FY25. And EBITDA margin stood at 32%, expanding by 608 basis points on year-on-year basis. This improvement was driven by a better product mix and continued cost optimization. Our EBITDA margins should further improve from the current levels on a long-term basis. The chemical segment reported a PAT of 198 crores, reflecting a 51% growth on a year-on-year basis. In our EV materials business, expenses, interest, and depreciation are being incurred, while revenue is expected to start flowing in from Q4 of this financial year. This will begin contributing to both the top line as well as the bottom line, improving the margins and profitability at consolidated levels. Let me now walk you through the performance of each business segment for the quarter. The fluoropolymer segment revenue was up by 8% on year-on-year basis. However, it declined by 4% on quarter-on-quarter basis. This was impacted due to imposition of higher US tariffs. However, I believe that the second half of the year, especially Q4 and onwards, should witness significant pickup in sales. In our fluorochemicals business, the revenue declined by 15% on year-on-year, mainly on account of reduction in sales of R22 to quota reduction and seasonality. Further, R125 sales also got impacted due to market conditions and US tariffs. The specialty chemical segment remained stable during the quarter and is expected to see steady improvement going forward. Our bulk chemical segment saw increase in revenue, mainly due to higher prices of chloromethanes, while the quarter-on-quarter growth was supported by both price and volume increase in chloromethanes. In our battery material business, LiPF6 prices have significantly moved upwards from around $10 per kg to $17 per kg, leading to a positive impact on our business outlook. We remain uniquely positioned as one of the only non-China integrated LiPF6 producers and are further expanding our capacities to capitalize on this opportunity. Our LFP CAM facility in India has been successfully commissioned, and post-stabilization, we will begin sending samples for customer approvals from the commercial plant. The qualification process for our binders is progressing well, with commercial sales is expected to commence in the second half of calendar year 26. In electrolyte, we are actively engaging with emerging cell manufacturers across EV and BESS applications, supporting evaluation and qualification through customized samples from our commercial plant. At GFCL EV, we are strategically positioned to emerge as a global leader in the battery material space. With our established capacities, ongoing qualifications, and early customer approvals, we have built a strong platform for growth. This marks a defining phase for our battery material business, and we remain confident in our ability to capitalize on the expanding global opportunity. The battery material segment is very promising, given the recent surge in demand for BESS, which only augments the demand from the EV space. Many growth drivers, the likes of data centers, AI, transition to renewable power, are driving the demand manifold for the BESS business in the coming years. Overall, we are well placed to capture growth across our business segments, largely driven by the surge in demand for fluoropolymers, battery materials, and R32. We remain confident of delivering sustained growth and creating long-term value for our stakeholders. Thank you, and I now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I got a few of them. First, in the fluoropolymer business in India, now that there is an ADD on PTFE, how do you see competitive landscape in India? There's another company who has come in domestically. In that background, how do you see domestic business shaping up from here, and should that help in the second half of this year in terms of scaling up the fluoropolymer business?
Okay, you want me to answer, or you said you have several questions? You want, shall I?
So I will ask one by one. So.
Okay. Okay, so, thanks, Sanjay. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Now, in fluoropolymers, there has been anti-dumping duty has been recommended by DGTR.
Yes.
We expect it to be implemented, and that should have a positive impact on the business. Okay, because and we are very well positioned to capture it because we have a very wide range of grades and PTFE, and we expect to see a positive impact of it. Okay. As far as competition is concerned, I think should not have much impact because of our large product portfolio in PTFE as well as the experience in the products that we have.
So just one add-on today, India is about close to 7,000 metric tons of PTFE annually. How much of that are we, I say, 7, assuming that there is an extension of PTFE as modified?
So we are quite, Sanjesh, yes, we are quite positive about capturing a very large fraction of this because of ADD, the imports are expected to go down, and we expect to capture a very large percentage of that, I would say upward of 50-60%.
So we have that kind of capacity in the PTFE to service?
I'm sorry, can you come up again, please, Sanjesh?
Do we have such spare capacity to cater to the growing demand in the Western market and the domestic demand?
Yes, we do have in PTFE because we have been, as I said earlier also many times, that we have a large capacity available in monomer. And in recent times, we are adding capacity on the polymer side as well. So I think we are well positioned to capture it.
Got it. Now, another question on the fluoropolymer. Given the first half performance, which appears to be much slower recovery than probably what we thought at the start of the year, still hold on to the 25% of growth in fluoropolymer for FY26?
We had guided earlier on 25%. So, of course, there was a little bit of ripple, I would say, because of the global situation, particularly the tariff situation in U.S. However, if adjusting for that tariff part, I think if I look at the rest of our product portfolio, I think we are geared toward achieving the 25%. And going forward, I mean, we have been trying to focus on multiple markets and trying to readjust to this reality of tariff. See, one of the things that has happened, Sanjesh, is that because of the tariff, the lot of decisions have been kept on hold because a lot of customers were expecting this to be reverted, so they actually put their buying decisions on hold. Lot of it has, we expect to streamline going forward. So, a few things. First, from our side, we look at alternate markets and try to go there. Second is that if there are indications that this tariff may go away, then that should give us a further tailwind in terms of going and seeking the target that we have been talking about.
Assuming if tariff stays, then for new fluoropolymers, U.S. will give it to the market?
See, if the tariff stays, then obviously, you know, in U.S., PTFE is exempted, you know that. And the new fluoropolymer is the one which is impacted, but we would adjust partly to focus into other markets to grow. And we also believe that some of the decisions of our customer, which has been put on abeyance for now, will probably come into play.
Question one on R32. One, what is the overall take on safety? We have seen this incident happening quite frequently, which is hampering business confidence, even customer confidence has taken up. Are we tackling that? And R32, how we see that? Because I think because of this incident, that was slowed down. So what's our plan on our strategy to, we were looking at 20,000 metric ton by December. And a related question is, a separate question is on the margin. What has given such a sharp improvement in gross margin? So it went up from 67 to 72. What explains such a sharp improvement in the margin?
Let me first answer the R32 question. The incident, of course, Sanjesh, is an unfortunate incident which happened. Now, it doesn't change our plan. Yes, we are trying to learn from it, trying to strengthen our safety processes, safety systems. And as far as 20,000 ton target is concerned, we had indicated that target by the end of this financial year, which is March. So we will achieve there. So right now we are strengthening our plant system. Ensure we started at a very low capacity, so we are now looking at augmenting that capacity, strengthening the safety system, and coming back now at the target capacity that we had planned. Okay, so the plan of R32 still remains intact. There's not been any change in that. Okay. Coming back to the margin improvements, we always guided that we'll probably be in the range of 30% or on the north of it. This time, there are multiple reasons, of course, because of the product mix, as we are going up in the value chain, value-added product mix is improving our margin. There's also been impact of the cost control, which is driven by the multiple factors, including the power cost. That also we had indicated that we are moving toward renewable, and we'll see more of it as we go along in next few quarters. And finally, there has been some lift because of the currency, and which we also expect to continue. So this margin improvement we see, and we expect it to be sustainable going forward.
Very clear. So thanks for answering all those questions. Simply a success for the company.
Thanks, Sanjesh. Thanks for the interest. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Ankur from Axis Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Continuing on the tariff side, so just trying to understand the on-ground situation better. So while the earlier tariff, as I understand, was largely passed through to the customers, how much of the revised, the incremental tariff has been passed on? Is it 100% or we have also absorbed some bit of it?
So, Ankur, there are two things. First is when we talked last time, in the last one call, that time 25% had happened. And it was a combination of pass-through plus, in some cases, we adjusted ourselves also. Now, the second one, the discussions are all on. However, one of the things which is very different in the second one is it has impacted, there's a ripple effect, because it's not only in India, it's on multiple countries, different kind of tariffs. So because of that, there has been some sort of a readjustment in terms of our customer supply chain as well. So because of that, there has been a delay in decision making. Now going forward, we expect this to be get adjusted. Okay. In some cases, some part will be absorbed by the customer and some we will have to absorb. Okay. So we are trying to find a new datum as we go along, but it's a very large jump in tariff, obviously, and no one is prepared. But nevertheless, going forward, we expect some adjustments to happen in U.S. market with our customers. And in some cases, as I said earlier, that we look at focusing and developing some of the other markets where we can capitalize on opportunities. So there's a global level, there's going to be some readjustments as it will happen. Okay. Again, this is primarily in context of new fluoropolymers, Ankur, because PTFE is not really impacted by this.
Yeah, correct. Fair enough. Just trying to understand, pre-tariff, will it be fair to say that U.S. Will be making better margins in U.S. than, let's say, rest of the world in within exports?
Pre-tariff, yes, I think so. I think pre-tariff, yes, because U.S. market, of course, is a good value, high value market for us.
Sure. And now in the current scenario, which other markets are we focusing upon in terms of, you know, selling our products alternatively to those markets?
There are multiple opportunities because, you know, as I said earlier, some of the new fluoropolymers are in the space like semicon applications. And in case of there is an opportunity available in Japan, in Russia, and some parts of Europe. I'm sorry, not Russia, Japan and Korea. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry.
Sure. No worries. Fair enough. And second thing, on the LiPF, you know, pricing, which you alluded towards, you know, $10 per kg increasing to around $17. Any thoughts there in terms of, let's say, any firm contracts that we have, you know, with us in terms of the supplies for LiPF6, and at what pricing are we getting them, you know, incrementally?
Yeah, Ankur, it would be difficult for me to talk about the contracts or the pricing, but let me tell you the context why this is such a see. So far, we have positioned ourselves as an alternate supply chain, and also delinking to some extent from the price which is prevailing in China. However, if the Chinese price itself goes up, as what we said earlier, then our overall target markets and the opportunity become very big for us. Okay. And particularly, let's take an example of Indian customers, okay, who always have an opportunity to import from China, and that option is available for them. So in that context, now if the price in China has gone up, then obviously they are better off procuring it from a domestic supplier. So that opportunity opens up. Otherwise, buying from an alternate source always is a strategic decision. Now, in view of these pricing, it's not only strategic, but it's also an economic decision. So that, I think, it gives a certain lift and creates a much larger opportunity for LiPF6. Now, coming back to the contracts, we have a discussion going on with a very large number of customers globally. We have certain agreements in place, but right now it's going through the qualification process, which takes some time. And as I said earlier, that we have reached the benchmark quality, and now the sample from the commercial plant is being tested by our customers, we expect the sales to commence very, very soon now.
Sure, Mr. Kapoor. And just one follow-up here. From a you know, timelines perspective, by when should we see, let's say, the first commercial sale happening here? And you know, just next to it is, like, which geography is probably, I'm sure we'll be looking at multiple markets, but probably which one or two geographies will be the bigger ones from your addressable target markets?
It should happen in first next few months, and go as early as that, because yes, we are very, very close. And in terms of geographies, you know, there are not that many places which manufacture battery. Of course, geographies are going to be mostly non-China. Okay. That's all I can say right now.
Sure, sir. No worries. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Archie Joshi from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. First question on the battery side of the business. Given that all three growth engines within the EV product space are near to commissioning or let's say commissioned, and we might have all three lines open for doing business, let's say in the second half fully of the next calendar year. Any number that we might be working with here as to what we might achieve in FY27 in revenue terms?
At this point of time, I think, you know, we had given a very broad number earlier, Ashit, if you remember, primarily based on asset turnover and investments. It would be very difficult for me to give a very specific number as it's a business which is it's a developing stage. This is a new business with a very, very high potential. It's a great opportunity, and there'll be some time to build up this business. But at the end, we expect this to be at a full blown, the number that I had indicated earlier, with the asset turnover of close to 2 plus, with the healthy margins. If you want to add anything? Okay, all right. But let me tell you that now what we have achieved is very unique. We have commercial plant now in LiPF6. Our commercial plant now is in operating LFP. I think it's the first LFP plant in India, and it's the first commercial plant which is in a way outside China, which is in, operated by a non-Chinese entity. So I think that's and also our electrolyte plant is now in operation. So now the process is that is to develop samples which are commercial samples and go through the qualifications. Unfortunately, in battery material business, the qualification takes time because there are a lot, number of steps. And also, apart from the qualification is not only on the product, but also on our audits on our manufacturing capability, our quality control tests, etc. So it's an elaborate process that we have to go through.
Understood, sir. Getting a little more nuanced here, given that we've seen some delays in battery manufacturers in India, to have seen some delays, you know, in their ramp up of gigawatt factories, are we targeting more export markets in the beginning? Would it be fair to assume that our business mix will be oriented slightly more on the export side? To begin with?
Yeah, let Mr. Rajiv Rao answer that one.
Yeah, so we are looking at global markets outside of China. So our initial business would be focusing on export markets for our products. And as we sell factories in India kicking in the next calendar year, then slowly the Indian part of business will start increasing as a percentage of our overall sales.
That was, Archit, always our plan. When we started this business, we knew that the Indian demand would take some time to develop. So that's why our focus primarily was export market. And we have tremendous experience and expertise in handling export markets through our experience in fluoropolymers. So we started, that has been the plan, and that's what we are following up at the moment.
Sure, sir. A bit more on the CapEx front, if I may. I think we've done 575 crores last year. This year is projected to be 1200 crores in EV. One is how much would have been done in the first half? And any numbers for FY27 within EV in terms of CapEx, and where would it flow into, in which of the three areas that you would target during the CapEx in FY27. Thank you.
See, the CapEx that we had planned on EV, I think, is progressing well. And we'll give you a better estimate probably the end of next quarter. But the focus, of course, has been on primarily on the cathode and the salt side, because those are capital intensive, and that's what our focus area is, to expand on those product lines.
Sir, on FY27, would we have a ballpark number to work with?
So, we have not given that guidance yet, but it will be probably be higher than 1200, maybe more like 1500 approximately. Because what we had indicated earlier, Shiv, is that we will be doing close to 6,000 crores of CapEx in 4 to 5 years.
Right, of course.
So we'll follow up that plan. So next year would probably be almost close to 1,500 crore, maybe higher. We'll give you a better indication probably in our next call.
Sure. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Dhawan Shah from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the gross margin side for the standalone business. You know, if I look at the quarter-on-quarter revenue, I think that is being declined for both fluoropolymers and chemical segment. You know, and also you mentioned that during the quarter, I think you supplied new fluoropolymers for the Semicon. So is it fair to assume that because of that changes in the product mix, we have seen the gross margin improvement on the quarter-on-quarter basis?
Yes, Dhawan, it's one of the reasons. We already stated that earlier, that the multiple factors which is driving it. One, of course, was the product mix. The higher the higher value product, that as it becomes part of our product mix, it leads to better margin. And of course, there has been an improvement on the cost side as well, primarily driven by the cost of power. Okay.
Understood. And going forward,
so value-added product, yes. That has always been, and we stated in previous calls as well, that our approach has been to slowly increase or improve our product portfolio for high value-added products and then improve the margin. And this journey we expect to continue.
Understood. So this is a minimum gross margin we can expect in the next few quarters, at least, you know, because the scale would also be improved for the new fluoropolymers, and then your additional 10,000 tons of R32 can also come on stream. So is it fair to assume that the Q2 gross margin is the minimum that you can maintain for the next few quarters?
Yes, I think it will be better than what we have, and I would expect it to grow further. Yes.
Understood.
Thanks.
Understood. And what is the status of the 10,000 tons of R32 right now after the fire? Is it more or less on stream, and by when are we going to start the production?
We said that it's going to be 20,000 tons because that was our target by the end of this financial year, and we are on target. And because of the incident, yes, it gives us an opportunity to revisit and strengthen our plan from the safety side, and it also gave us an opportunity to augment our capacity and whatever, wherever we thought there's a work required to reach to the 20,000 tons. We have done that. We expect the plant to start probably by the end of this month.
Sure, sir. And the last one is on the battery capex. You mentioned that maybe next year we can do roughly 1,500 odd crore of the capex that is at the minimum site. But what are the funding plans over there? How are we going to fund, and by when can we see the another round of funding?
So yes, Dhawan, let me, I'll request Akhil to take this.
Sure. So we are fully funded up till now for the capex that we have incurred. In fact, we have almost another 200 crore of term loan that is yet to be drawn. And all the figures are as on 1st of October. So that is being utilized for the further funding. Plus, we are expecting to close on the sovereign fund that we discussed with you last time. So we are fully funded for another up to $125 million, which would be incurred over next, say, 6 to 9 months, perhaps a year. So we'll be raising money as and when we need, rather than just, you know, keeping the money and putting it into treasury. So that way, I guess, you know, the funding will follow the capex need of the company.
Understood, sir. And will there be any dilution, equity dilution in the battery business going forward?
For existing case, there won't be any dilution, but of course, as and when the funding is done, that time we'll come back to you in terms of the exact proportions and ratios. But most of them are convertible instruments, so that we would not see any dilution happening now. But perhaps just before the IPO, or at the time of IPO, there would be some dilution. But we'll give you the detail as and when the funding are frozen and that the documents are signed accordingly.
Sure, sir. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Raman. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. First, on the battery chemicals business. So, do you expect EBIT break even in FY27? And if not in FY27, then by when?
Yes, I think we expect it to happen in FY27. We should be able to reach the break even point, yes.
Okay, I mean, on EBIT, not on EBITDA, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. And second, on the FKS, do you intend to increase your R32 capacity beyond 20 KTPA that you have already announced to utilize your R22 quota entitlement?
Yes, our plan is to maximize and take up to the level of our entitlement, which is 30,000.
By when but can we expect that?
I think we'll take that call probably a quarter from now once we commission our stabilize and commission our 20,000 ton.
Okay, and that 20,000 ton stabilization should happen by 4Q of FY26, is that correct?
It's end of the financial year.
Okay.
So next 4 months.
And yeah, and just a clarification on that, or rather a comment if you can. What sort of utilization level do you see for this 20,000 tons planned in F27?
We expect it to be quite high because there is a demand supply gap in R32, and we expect the market for R32 to remain quite healthy. So we expect that to continue.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, sir. I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Ketan Gandhi from Gandhi Securities and Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, any reason for LiPF6 price going almost doubling in the last 3 months? Because corresponding price of the lithium carbonate has not gone up that significantly. It has gone by 10% only. Is it because of the anti-involution or demand supply gap or what else? I mean, can you throw some light? I mean, any your thought will be helpful.
See, the pricing, of course, depends on the demand supply. While there could be multiple reasons, but what we see, one of the potential reasons can be the on the demand side. There is a demand for BESS, which is going up, which is for the ESS application. And I think that's going up. And what we also understand that some of the plants who have been operating at, they were not really economically viable have closed down. So I think combination of these two have led to that for our assessment at this point.
So in your understanding, it could be the new normal? The pricing of between $15 to $20?
Yes, in fact, if you look at it, last several years, the prices were always high, and it just came down in last maybe 18 months or so. It has been on the lower side. So we expect, because the prices that were there earlier of $8 or $9 or $10 were truly not sustainable for the industry to grow. Okay. So these prices where they are right now, we think is probably is more sustainable in terms of the long-term growth of this industry.
So, I'll put it something else. I mean, is this price can give us the desired margin which we are expecting around this level?
It's hard for me to say. Now you're trying to extract my pricing from me. all I can say is that it will definitely be a good margin. And obviously, when we do our pricing, we make sure that since we are building a business, we would like to make sure that our price points are sustainable for long-term growth. And the pricing where they are, I think, is probably approaching that.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. So my first question is on the battery business again. So we spoke about we'll be initially focusing on the export markets till the domestic market develops. So this is only pertaining to the salt business or for our LFP category?
It's for all businesses except electrolyte. We have currently four streams of products. One is salt, binders, can, which is cathode active materials, and electrolyte. So electrolyte is mostly for Indian or domestic market. All other three, we are focusing on the growth, on the global markets. We are targeting global markets, obviously, products.
Sorry, because one would assume non-China, the US is the biggest market for the these components, and will US manufacturers will be eligible for 45X credit even if they buy CAM from outside US?
Yes, as long as you know they are complying to this new bill, which is called O3B, or the Big Beautiful Bill. Once and we comply to that, so our customers we believe would be eligible for that in the US.
Can you explain what do you mean by we complying to that bill? And what are the conditions or preconditions for those compliance?
One of the big condition there is that that the manufacturer should not be the entity which is the prohibited foreign entity. It is called PFE, okay, or have any influence of PFE. And the PFE has been defined as producers from four countries, and they are already named those four countries. And so we India is not part of that, and so I think we are clearly a non-PFE or a company which is not even influenced by the... So either specified foreign entities or prohibited foreign entities. So we are neither of the two. So we qualify with respect to that.
But before the Trump administration came, there were several... CAM manufacturers were trying to put a plant in US, so we should be able to compete against those local manufacturers as well?
Sure. You want to add value?
Yeah, so, I mean, the capex efficiency that we would have for an LFP CAM plant in India would be superior to ones that could possibly come up in the US. So, therefore, our ability to compete with any potential suppliers of LFP CAM coming up in the US, we'll be very much positioned in that aspect. We are confident on that.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Arun?
Yeah, I'll come back later. Few more questions, but I'll come back later, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you can always contact our IR team, yes, Arun, if you're not able to come back today. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Darshita Shah from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, team.
Could you speak up, please?
Is it better now?
Yes, it is better, please.
My first question, or actually a clarification, was regarding the capex for the battery chemical business. The 1200 crore capex is on track for FY26, and then you said that 1500 crore or more than that will happen in FY27, right?
Right.
Got it. Okay. Second, on the working capital days, we have seen a significant increase in our working capital days over the past few years, 120 days in FY22 to almost 182 now. What is the reason behind that? One, and two, by when do we see this, settling back to that 120 days levels?
Yes, I'll request Manoj to take a break.
So the increase in the working capital cycle is essentially on account of your building various, because you have taken a long backdated numbers. So 120 to 180 days has essentially happened because we have developed all new fluoropolymer business. The inventories we stock at USA and GmbH, Germany and USA, and sell from there. So that has increased the inventories. Secondly, the EV business also we are continuously manufacturing and sending the samples for the approvals. That has also increased the numbers. So, 120 days is something which is ideal number. We wanted to reach there, but it will take some time. Once the operations start for all the EV business as well as the new fluoropolymer business to the full volumes at the full capacity.
See, with the focus large part of our business is export market, Lakshita, and because of the business model that we are following, where we are maintaining our depots there to store material and supply on demand, because of our business model, this number appears to be higher for us than maybe some other companies who operate in chemical space.
Got it. So, at least for the fluoropolymer business, maybe this will sustain for some time, I'm guessing, given that this is the business model.
Yes, and it also depends, Darshita, that as the domestic market develops, for example, then we would see this number coming down. Or when we have a larger chunk of our product mix changing, for example, when the more batteries materials coming in. So it depends on the type of businesses and the model that we have at the moment. Okay.
Got it.
But from our side, of course, our effort has always been to bring it down. And we have brought it down. In fact, the last quarter, it was, in fact, March, we had a very low number of days. And it has come down. And now it has gone up in the recent time, and a lot of it has to depend. The recent increase that we see of 7 or 8 days has a lot to do with because of tariffs, some of the decisions of the customer got put on advance. So because of that, the inventory has gone up. Okay.
Got it. And given that initially we'll be looking at export market for the battery chemical business, would the working capital day be in line with what we are seeing for the fluoropolymer business, or will it be better? Any sense on that?
I expect it to be better, Lakshita, because part of it is that battery chemicals, the battery material business, is normally on the long-term contract business, where the material is supplied at least the term that we're talking about with a lot of our customers is FOB. Okay. So there will probably not be following a similar model like fluoropolymers where we maintain a stock in our regions, whether it's Europe or North America.
Got it. And one last question on any incremental volume growth that we are seeing because of the legacy player exiting in the US market. I mean, are we seeing the inventory that was existing of the legacy players kind of dwindling down now? or is it the same as it used to be?
See, the growth that we have always been talking about, Dakshita, is accounts for exit of these legacy players. And that was the basis of, at least one of the basis of which we have been projecting 25% growth in our fluoropolymer business. And that is still continuing because that legacy player that we talked about earlier, stock is coming down. And it's leading to impact on some of our new fluoropolymer business, yes.
Okay. And just one last question on the CAPEX for the fluoropolymer business. Any guidance for FY27?
I think we can give that guidance probably in the next call, but after the three quarters. For the next year.
Sure.
Right now, we are just in the middle executing what we have planned for this year in GFL.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Archit Joshi from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. I just have one question, slightly technical. The phosphoric acid requirement that we have for LFP or maybe even for LiPF6, is that fertilizer grade or is there a very high quality phosphoric acid requirement? And what are the sources, if you can help with regards to P2O5? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ajit. First of all, as far as LFP is concerned, we are not yet making FP, which is iron phosphate. We are importing iron phosphate, although we have a plan in the long run once we reach the critical volume is to do backward integration. And the FP required there is not fertilizer grade. It's a battery grade FP, phosphoric acid. Now, in LiPF6, we don't use phosphoric acid. What is used is BCL5, okay, which is a different route altogether. Okay.
Sure, sir. I was also asking this, given that China is the largest producer of phosphoric acid, and it comes as a part of the foreign entity of concern. Does our supply chain by any chance get affected because of that, or if we, let's say, continue to import any raw material for that matter required for battery chemicals from these four countries, does that come in the way of our compliance with the US being a bigger market?
As far as the North American market is concerned, and if you're talking about the new bill, the issue there is primarily related to control. As long as there are suppliers who are available from outside, and as long as there's no control from any prohibited foreign entity on our supply, there's a compliance, first point. The second point is there is, of course, another condition which is based on the material value added, that how much percentage is coming from specified foreign entities or the PFE. Okay. So it's a complex value added calculation which is done. So at the moment, of course, as far as phosphoric acid is concerned, there are multiple sources which is available outside China. That's not a problem. But of course,
sir, even for batteries made outside of China?
No. Normally, what is typically done is that phosphoric acid is taken and then it's purified to battery grade.
That we do in India, the purification process?
Possible to do if we, whenever we set up our plant, of course, we'll have to do that.
Okay. Got it. And sir, the iron phosphate bit, where do we source it from, or that's also not a concern with regards to availability per se?
Right now, of course, the source of iron phosphate at the moment is China. There are, in fact, as far as we know, there are no large capacities outside China at the moment for FP. And so is there not large capacity of LFP also outside China, outside the Chinese company. So so I think it will develop, and as we reach a critical small capacity, I think we'll look into developing. There are some other players who are planning to come on FP. So it will evolve over a period of time. It's a very early stage. And some of these FP plants may not be economically viable at the volume that we have at this early stage.
So, sir, simply speaking, right now, us importing iron phosphate from China would not come in the way of the compliance that you would require.
Not at least for next few years. Because this bill that we are talking about, the conditions become more stringent progressively, okay, in terms of the value add terms. So initially it is 60% and then eventually, and finally after 4 years or so, it goes down to 85%. So this becomes more critical. So the leeway to import or add Chinese material become less and less, progressively. So it's possible right now, but few years from now, it will be difficult to do that.
Thank you, sir.
As of now, we would comply. That's the simple answer.
Got it. So that was really helpful. Thanks a lot for answering all of them, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ashish.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mr. Rohit Nagaraj from BNK Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. One is on the battery chemicals side. So given that progressively the plants are coming to fruition, commissioning, as well as the validation is going on, and FY27 also there will be few projects which will get commissioned, would FY28 be a remarkably scale-up year from the revenue perspective of the entire battery chemicals business? Just a broader thought, I don't want to get into number specific, but your perspective on the same. Thank you.
Yes, you are absolutely right, Roy. In fact, because there's some time to build up business capacities, get the qualifications done, and then we will have the contract in place. The way we are starting right now is the initial capacities is to get the experience of commercial production qualification, and then subsequently the next 26 and 27 we'll be building up capacities, and we will see a significant numbers coming up in 28 or FY 28.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. That's how we are planning to build this business going forward.
Got it, sir. So second question, in terms of the 1600 crore capex, would that be completed during FY26? The need of asking this question is, would the depreciation and interest will start flowing in from FY27 or maybe the second half of FY27? Thank you.
Yeah, this capitalization will be averaged out during the year, so there will be a 50% impact on the as against the total capital.
Correct.
Perfect. That's it from my side. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you, Rohit. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions from the participant, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the interest in GFL. And as I said earlier, overall, we are very, very well placed to capture growth across our business segments, largely driven by surge in demand in fluoropolymers and battery materials, and finally R32 as we go forward. So we remain confident in delivering our sustained growth and creating long-term value for all our stakeholders. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of BNK Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.